Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, November. Are we in November? Is it really November? You'd think I'd know that after like a week. Anyhow, November 13th, 2017.
That's just nitpicking.
Hey, at least I'm not saying 2016.
It's true, although John would like it if he did.
Oh my God, he would love that to pieces. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Great. I'm writing up iOS 11.2 Developer Beta 3 while we're recording.
Awesome. Guess what I'll be installing as soon as we're done recording?
iOS 11.2 Developer Beta 3.
Your investigative skills are stunning. Yes. Speaking of stunning, Andrew Orr, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have both of you here. It's also great that our sponsor today is VideoBlocks. They do stock image, stock video, and stock audio content, and it's pretty cool. So I'll talk about them soon, but first, we need to talk about masks and Face ID. So here's the deal. There is a security research company that has announced that they have worked around Apple's Face ID security for the iPhone X. So, you know, the thing that does the 3D facial scanning, decides if you're really you, and then unlocks your iPhone. And so they did this thing where they have this video, and they show this mask that they've created, and it tricks Face ID. And so they're saying that Face ID isn't as secure as Apple is implying. And I watched the video. I saw what they did. And I'm thinking, no, they're wrong. Face ID is actually pretty fracking secure. And so I want you guys to give me a reality check. But I'll give everyone the background real quick on how this was done. So what the people did was did a high-resolution 3D scan of someone's head. So in this case, it's one of their own staff. And then they printed a 3D, or they did 3D printing, there we go, and printed out this mask of the person's face. And then they went back and used like a high-resolution printer to do the eyes for the mask, and then they brought in a special artist who then did latex sculpting and latex painting to create the 3D nose and I believe they did the mouth as well. And once they did that, then they were able to use this mask to unlock an iPhone X. So am I wrong in thinking this isn't nearly the security risk that this company is implying?
Yeah, that's fracking stupid. I mean, because if you can do all that, you could also just hold the bloody phone up to the person's head.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like saying like, oh, my God, this isn't secure because if you hold the phone up someone's head, you can freaking open it. I mean, that's just ridiculous. That's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah. Plus,
I think that if the bad guys, whoever they may be, are able to spend a lot of time making a 3D mask of your face, you probably have more to worry about than having your phone unlocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have access, if someone has access to you to make a 3D, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. That is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I mean, it has no logical foundation. If you could do those things to someone, you could also just hold the phone up to their face.
Yes, and if you're thinking that for whatever reason they need to hold the phone to their face, or you need to convince them, don't do something with your face that makes Face ID think you're not the person you are, it's amazing how powerful an incentive a baseball bat is.
So let me actually turn this from a feature, from a bug into a feature.
Okay.
So the good news is that we can go have a 3D scan of our face so that if anything ever happens to our face, and we somehow also magically forget our the passcode, mm-hmm. we could have someone print out our face and have some artists do some lips and noses and still be able to get into our phones.
Well, I'm going to be able to sleep better tonight.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I am nearly apoplectic with the loss of words.
This is awesome. I so rarely get to see you in this state. It's you practically have the vapors.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I'm about to faint right now because I am just completely overcome.
Well, we'll get you a mint julep and get you over to that fainting couch.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah. All right. Do you remember when the iPhone 5S came out? And that's when we got Touch ID, as I recall. Mm-hmm. And there was this whole thing that came out because Computer Chaos Club said, dudes, we hacked Touch ID. And they did this thing where they got a really high quality fingerprint from someone, and it was the correct fingerprint. So, of course, they were testing with themselves. And then they did a really high resolution scan of that fingerprint, and then they printed it out on a laser printer where they got to control the settings. They could do like really heavy toner, so the toner was a lot thicker and it was more akin to thermography. And those of you that know what I'm talking about, you're like, hey, and I'm right back at you, hey. So anyhow, you had more ridged layout on that paper. And then they took that and they transferred it into latex. And so then they had this piece of latex that had a reproduction of the fingerprint with all the ridges. And then when they had that, then they were able to wrap it over someone else's finger and put it on the phone and do Touch ID. And people are like, holy crap, this shows just how unsafe Touch ID is. Apple doesn't have this worked out. If that was such a problem, why haven't we seen everyone printing and latex reproducing fingerprints to get into phones? Why isn't the FBI doing this all the time? That turned out to be, in my opinion, very much a non-issue. And I think this Face ID mask is equally non-issue. Actually, I think this is even more difficult to do.
It's more of a non-issue because while it is conceivable, especially that a government actor could get a high resolution scan of a fingerprint, you're not going to get a high resolution 3D scan of someone's face unless they pose for it. Uh-huh. Yet. I mean, maybe in 20 or 30 or 50 years, you know, it'd be possible for someone to illicitly get such a scan as you're walking through the airport. Maybe. But that is not, I mean, that's not even on like science fiction radar at this point. So, yeah. I mean, you have to, you know, pose for this 3D scan, or someone would have to be holding you down for it. But if they could do that, they could just hold the phone up your face. Right. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So thank you, because I was certain that I had the right interpretation on this whole thing, and that I had the appropriate reaction to this news, which is that seriously, people, this is not an issue. And the company that said, see, and now we've proven Apple's Face ID security just isn't as secure as Apple, saying, no, I think you totally proved Apple's point. So thank you for the validation. I feel much better now. All right. And we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlocks. And I've been playing around with VideoBlocks for a little while now, and it's actually pretty cool. So what they do is they put together a lot of really high quality stock video, stock audio, and stock image content so that you can go and find what you need for your project, and it's royalty free. So you sign up for your annual subscription and you can go and download all the content that you want or that you can imagine, and away you go. And you can use it royalty free. Once your subscription ends, the content is still yours to use royalty free because you had paid for it, and they made that very clear. It's your stuff. You get to use it. So that's really cool. They have over 150,000 videos right now, over 100,000 audio clips, And I just kind of like gave up completely trying to figure out how many photos they have, because it is buttloads and the stuff is really nice. It is easy for me to find the things that I'm looking for and to get high quality stuff that's worked great in articles that I've been writing at TMO. So here's the deal. You can all take advantage of the content that VideoBlocks has by going to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO. And that's VideoBlocks.com/TDO. And when you go to that special link, you get to take advantage of even better pricing than what they offer for everyone else. So their standard pricing is it costs you $149 a year for video content or audio content or images. So you know, if you need two things, it's $149 per thing. But if you go to that link, videoblocks.com/TDO, you get all three in their triple bundle for $149 for the year. So you get all three for the price of one. And this deal's good only in November and December, so don't procrastinate because you'll miss out, and I would hate for you to miss out. So head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO, to get all the video, image, and audio content you can imagine for $149. It's fantastic. And thank you, VideoBlocks, for being our sponsor. And so, Brian, you...
Yes.
You are right.
Amy!
I know! And so here's the deal. And yay you, but at the same time, oh man, sometimes I really wish you weren't right. So you said that the Department of Justice is going to start calling out smartphone encryption as the cause of deaths. And sure enough, that happened.
Well, okay, what I actually said is that we were going to once again get the call that we were going to have encryption being attacked.
Okay,
I wasn't quite so predictive as to say that the DOJ was going to say that encryption causes deaths, kills people, but it turns out they did.
Yeah, they did. And... so what exactly happened this time?
Well, first what happened was, that when Andrew was typing on the keyboard, he hit the mute button.
Oh, is that what that was? So now Andrew is safe and secure and he has his privacy enabled.
Correct. Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. So Rod Rosenstein, who many people may have heard as the number two guy at the DOJ, recently made much more higher profile over the entire Trump Russiagate investigation. Mm-hmm. That's where you might have heard that name before. Okay. And he said, and this is in the wake of the Texas shooting massacre, mm-hmm. where the FBI wants to get into the shooter's iPhone and can't because it's locked. And the reason why it's locked, the reason why they can't get into it, is because they didn't reach out for Apple's help, even though Apple reached out immediately after the incident offering its help. Huh, right. Okay. Where they could have taken the shooter's finger and unlocked it. Oh. Unless, of course, it had been rebooted.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Right. And so they didn't do that in the first 48 hours. So now it requires the passcode. So it's like completely the FBI's fault. And they're like, in the meanwhile, they're like, you know, hey, encryption is going to be bad and it's ridiculous and we got to get into the shooter. Like, it's their fault. So, you know, thank you, folks. That's great. Secondly, what Rod Rosenstein said was that encryption, and I'm quoting here, quote unquote, let me rephrase that, quote, surely costs lives, unquote.
Okay, so I wasn't hyperbolic after all.
No, you were just, I didn't predict that they would go that far. I just predicted the return of this false dichotomy over making a choice between privacy and safety.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that they went down that path of saying, look, encrypted phones, death sentence. People are going to die because... because you got that phone encrypted.
Well, the reality is that, unfortunately, there will probably be an incident where if, you know, law enforcement or intelligence service or someone could have gotten into someone's phone or access some communications, like they were trying to access encrypted communications before something happened, mm-hmm. could not, and then something awful happens. That, unfortunately, is a likelihood.
It's
at some point, yes. right? I mean, the world is unsettled as it is, and racial and ethnic and religious friction and confrontation is as high as it is, and terrorism at the state of where it is. Unfortunately, that is a possibility, but. In my opinion, even if that happens, and I hope that I'm wrong there, I hope that this does that never happens. But even if it does, I certainly don't think it would be an argument against having encrypted communications and encrypted devices to keep the legions of bad guys out of all of our devices and all of our content and all of our information.
I am with you, and I totally get your sentiment. Hoping that because a smartphone is encrypted, I went into my sentence backwards. Having encryption not leading to deaths at some point, I totally get that's something we all want. Don't let that happen. But the reality is it's going to, even though we don't want it to. We have thousands of years of human history to show that when we can obfuscate data or information, we do to protect whatever criminal activity we're going to engage in.
Yeah, and that's something we haven't brought up in this most recent cycle of this ridiculous debate. But let it not be forgotten that if Apple gave the government backdoors into encryption, or if Apple itself changed the way iMessages encrypted and the way iPhones are encrypted, so that it held the keys, so that it could serve warrants, that the bad guys out there would simply go to other forms of encrypted communication that no platform provider can stop.
Yeah. Right.
And then the only people that are subject to this government accessible encryption, which does not amount to encryption at all, are the people that they're trying to protect. And now those people are vulnerable
to all of the bad guys
yes.
who want nothing more than to steal our crap. Right? I mean, this we are on a daily basis. All of us, Android users, iPhone users, like both Windows Phone users, all of us. Come on, I'm gonna get a chuckle for that. Both Windows Phone. Come on, man. Okay, anyway, all of us are under.
I was actually trying to count, and yeah, you're right. Both.
we are all under an unrelenting assault on our. On our information, on our banking data, on our communications, on our photographs, on everything. We are on this unrelenting assault on a daily basis from a host of criminal and state-sponsored actors around the world.
Yes.
It is unrelenting and unceasing because they believe that they can profit from it, or that they can use information to blackmail people, to extort people, to in the case of authoritarian regimes, repress people, surveil people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is unrelenting, and what one of the tools that we have, one of the only tools we have. Preventing that from happening is encrypted communications and devices that can't be gotten into.
Yep. So I'm all for keeping encryption in place. And I just hope that our government gets to the point where the people that are passing laws understand the importance of this.
Well, and keep in mind that the intelligence professionals do, like I said. So, you know, we had James Comey and the FBI calling for this. And now we've got I forget what the acronym is, but the regional director of an FBI office, mm-hmm. Complaining about this. We've got the DOJ complaining about this, but the intelligence services understand the reality of encryption and the value of protected data to not only our national safety, but national commerce as well. Right. So it's not all of the government that believes we shouldn't have any encryption. It's only essentially some aspects of law enforcement.
And some lawmakers.
And some lawmakers, yeah. In particular, actually, there's two kinds of lawmakers that tend to be for having government backdoors into encryption. There are lawmakers who are super empathetic and sympathetic with victims of awful crimes. Mm-hmm. And then people like Trey Gowdy, who are just hyper pro law and order.
Yeah,
Representative Trey Gowdy. Forget where he is. He's a Republican. I forget where he's a representative of. But it's this. I mean, there are people on both sides of the aisle who are for the idea of government being able to law enforcement being able to get into devices when they need to. And I don't know if we could call it an alliance, but it's sort of a weird partnership because you've got folks who are just, you know, super on the side of victims and folks who are super on the side of law enforcement. And neither side is really thinking it through, in my not at all humble opinion.
It makes for some interesting bedfellows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
You're welcome.
And then thank you to VideoBlocks for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO, to get all the stock video, audio, and images you can imagine for just $149. That deal's good only in November and December, so hop to it, gang. That's VideoBlocks. VideoBlocks.com/TDO, VideoBlocks.com/TDO. Thank you for being our sponsor. Listeners, thank you for joining us today. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.